What is up, Boiler Nation? It is, what night is it? Thursday night, January 29th, 2026. You're listening to a brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, or perhaps you're watching live on our Facebook page or YouTube channel. If so, hit that subscribe button, that like button, that notification bell, so you know when we are going live. And I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch in the house. And fellas, we were talking before we hit record. Last time we did a pod was right before the UCLA game, and everything was rainbows and roses and all is good with the world. A lot bad with the world as far as Purdue basketball has happened since, as the Boilermakers find themselves on a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, I wish we could turn back time, as the song goes.
Three-game losing streak and three losses in three different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. In all kind of in their own frustrating way.
Yes.
One game, Illinois game specifically, you can kind of like, I can talk myself into, you know, special player, special night. Like, I mean, going 9-for-11 from three is just absolutely absurd.
46 like, points.
Yeah. What sucked more is just it was at home. And against a team that, you know, was going to contend for a top spot in the Big Ten. And, you know, coming in, they were like, oh, hey, we only have to play them once and it's at home. So that's, you know, you like our chances. But just what an incredible performance. You know, UCLA is a game you essentially lose kind of not at the buzzer, but, you know, in the last 10 seconds. But definitely the IU one is definitely probably the most frustrating just because of you lose two straight. Your rival that, you know, is not kind of what they, I mean, they've just been pretty mediocre, especially in Big Ten play. A team you should have obliterated on the boards. And they just kind of came out and played a lot harder, and shooting woes continued a little bit for numerous players. And yeah, just nothing really seemed to go right. And the effort wasn't there. And you find yourself down 14, 15 points in the first half. And, you know, you obviously give them credit for coming back, but it kind of reminded me of like Braden Fletch's freshman year when we were number one, when we went down there, but we got down like 20 in the first half and fought all the way back to like get down to like two and just couldn't get over the hump in this game. We couldn't get it past like four or five. I can't remember what it was, but in the second half, but yeah, and here we are.
Yeah, and I still think if you go back to last Tuesday against UCLA, I mean, you can probably call me crazy maybe, but I think if Purdue closes out that game, I don't think we're talking about a losing streak right now. I really don't.
I agree. Yeah.
Can't defend though. Stretch four, that was a problem.
It's been a problem for a long time for Purdue basketball, yeah. Is when you got a big man, a four or five that can shoot threes and get the big guys out. I mean, that's been a Purdue basketball problem for
But you have one of the most experienced years and years and years. That we've had in a long time. I mean, the last person we could go back to that could do it was Grady. Grady Eifert was, like, in my head, is probably the last, like, stretch four.
Caleb First was pretty good at getting out there.
Last year was
athleticism, not letting big guys shoot threes. I mean, yeah. That, I that's kind was of what this team's Grady? Missing.
I mean, Grady was consistent, though, and gritty.
I mean, I would say he's more athletic. But
yeah, I think Grady was a better rebounder, but I think Caleb was a better, like, just on ball defender.
But you know, Brian Newbert's hit the nail on the head in his columns this week. Like, all of a sudden, Purdue's size, which was its advantage for the first half of the season, it's flipped, and right now it's a disadvantage.
Yeah, I think what's probably the most frustrating is like some of the things. I mean, you look at, like the UCLA game, that was a good example of, like, you know, it was in. You know, some of the switching they were doing, which, like, if that's what you're going to do, like, that's what you're going to do. But there was just a couple times where guys just didn't stick to the principle,
yeah,
and kind of got caught, like, not, you know, or switching too late. And that's kind of what caused some guys. I mean, I know, like, we saw that. I know Omer got caught with that a couple times. And I think every game, I know, I definitely remember UCLA and definitely in the IU game where he was helping off a guy and leaving a shooter wide open when he probably shouldn't have. Or just didn't switch right away and cause some issues. But you're going to, you know, that's one thing. But when you have, you know, your more experienced people kind of not following the rules of the defense, that's when it gets really frustrating. So it's like they should know this more than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm going to put a comment up here real quick from the Funnies Can't Hoop. Purdue basketball is becoming one of my least favorite things of my Yeah, I think that can be stated for a lot of Boiler Nation right now. Three-game winning streak is not enjoyable, especially when two of the three are your rivals.
Mm-hmm. It's compounded because the national title last Monday, too.
That too. And like me, who's a Denver Bronco fan, let's just throw that in the mix, too. And it's been the worst period of my life the last 10 days or so. So, yeah.
Yeah, has been great.
No.
But each one of these teams that Painter's had teams that have lost three straight. They always rebound, but usually they don't end in great tournament runs. I will say, like, that's past precedent. This could be different. I think it's concerning the defensive assignments for sure from this team. Fletcher averaging 6 points this, you know, losing streak, and he not playing well also in USC game. I mean, he hasn't played well for a month.
Yeah. This is the point where he didn't play the last 10 minutes of that UCLA game. Like, that was crazy.
Illinois
game. He didn't play the last 12.
Yeah.
Sorry, 14. It was 14 because Meyer played, and then they rotated Harrison.
Yeah, I think it was after he let Jake Davis get that offensive rebound. I think that was kind of last straw.
I thought maybe he was going to get going at Indiana the other night, and maybe he does if the three hits doesn't get called off because of the foul on the screen. Because that's a building he has shot the ball pretty well in.
He hasn't missed a three. Granted, he only had taken like six since then, but he hadn't missed a three there since his freshman year.
Yeah. So, but now he's in a funk. There's a lot of guys for Purdue in the funk right now. Oscar Clough has kind of, since the USC game, kind of disappeared from the monster we became to know. Daniel Jacobson really struggled the other night at Assembly Hall. That's one thing I noticed. I thought the three freshmen in the first half, at least, Binter, Meyer, and Jacobson looked pretty intimidated at Assembly Hall, which I guess they hadn't played an environment like that yet. I mean, I know they played at Wisconsin, but no students at UCLA, at USC is what it is. And Alabama was a good environment, but that's not your rival, not a Big Ten game. Here's a good question from the Funnies Can't Hoop on YouTube. Where is Liam Murphy? Why are we going after portal guys who aren't worth a nickel? Guaranteed he would be more productive than Fletch is now.
Maybe. I mean, there's a reason he hasn't played. I think this kid also came off the bench at North Florida, so it's not like he wasn't like a 30-minute starter at some of these places. But I think his role was, hey, you're going to come and compete for that four spot, but also obviously you've got Trey, an All-American, and then we've got Jack Benner, who's already had a year in the program. I think, had maybe Benter not come on as well as he had, maybe that opens the door for him. Maybe the fact that Benner is one shot the ball really well all year. He's rebounded not too bad for a guy his size at the four, as an undersized four, and he's hustled. So maybe that kind of, I'm sure that's eating a lot of his minutes, because he's not really a three. He's too slow to guard a wing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I thought about him today. I hadn't thought about the guy in a while, and I'm like, especially games we're not shooting it well, maybe it would be.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Put him in a couple minutes, see if he can knock down a shot or two and get things going. But
yeah,
I'll say if it wasn't for Benner, we'd be on a four-game losing streak, because that USC game for sure.
Yep.
I mean, those last 3 minutes, he was crucial. The concern is just the amount of experience in the mistakes.
Yes.
Because I think in this case, you weren't wanting to rely on probably a Murphy, because you bought into what you had coming back, especially even on the bench with Harris, and you brought in Meyer in regards to was hoping the playmaking ability of him would take that and put Braden in a score first, because you don't have a guy that can just go get buckets on this roster. I think you do on the bench as a redshirt. But we won't see him till next year. And unfortunately, you got a four he played at 80 and still cannot figure out how to space out, get space. I mean, he looked better at the five, and it's like, no, but you're a liability. We've already seen this, movie before defensively. Mm-hmm. So,
and rebounding.
Yep. So it's like, can you not step out like, does Jacobson need to actually step out to the 3-point line so you can have like space to operate?
Maybe.
And have someone to be that defensive anchor behind you? If so, then maybe you go to the bench, like, and coming on a second platoon. I mean, the coaching staff has a lot to sit here and think about. I mean, but we did get one of the best quotes, I think, of all time from Painter this past press conference, which was, if you don't like the hole you're in, stop digging.
He's used that so much before, like when he was
talking about it. I haven't heard it for a while, though.
Yeah, when I was watching the press conference later on Tuesday night, and then when like he was talking, I was like he hadn't even said it, and I was like, if you don't like the hole you're in, stop digging. And I was like, oh, there he goes. He just
said that. I haven't heard it for a while, though.
Yeah.
Now, he was pretty pissed Tuesday
night. Oh, yeah. The finger tapping on the desk, I was like, this dude wants to break something.
Well, it's just probably because he's thinking that, veteran group who's won so much and they're making mistakes. You shouldn't have missed
them. They made us freshmen.
Yeah. Or you get that stuff cleaned up in the summer and it's costing you games late in games. And it's just gotta be so like, this is not anybody. Okay. We've lost 4 games total. It could be worse, but still this is not what anybody envisioned right now. And I suppose if you win out, you got a chance to get the Big Ten, even if it's just a tie, but in which, the optimistic view, in my opinion, like we can beat anybody. We know that we have the talent to beat anybody, but we can be at jeopardy too to lose games, as we've seen, and especially at home, with 2 home losses.
Yeah. That's what's kind of like shakes me a little bit. It's like we've lost 2 home games. We haven't lost 2 home games in a while.
Right.
And it just shows that, this team, like you said, like if just like, we can't just have just Braden playing well. Like obviously he's made some mistakes, but he's been far from the problem of these last 3 games. Like the fact that he's playing well on what I assume is a very sore leg between his knee and his whatever happened against Illinois, which was terrifying at the time when it happened. But like, obviously Trey he scored 20 points at IU, so that was good, but he still had some questionable shots or decisions.
It's this free throw shooting
that too.
It's
such
a liability.
But even shot selections at the top of the key.
That one he had at the elbow, that hit the backboard. I was like, what is that?
He could have taken 2 more dribbles and got in there, and he just
But like it was kind of like last year, like when Braden and Trey played well, like we needed somebody else. We needed a third person to step in. That could be anybody. It could be CJ. It could be Jakari. It could be this year. It could be Clough.
I thought it was going to be CJ Tuesday night. He looked good. I mean, hit 2 threes and hit a mid-range pull-up. And then, I've noticed him lately. And we've always said he's our defensive dog. He's starting to get whooped a little bit on defense. Mm-hmm. It's concerning. Yeah.
I'm surprised how many screens they're not fighting over.
Yeah.
Going underneath, that's what's surprising me. I don't know if you guys have noticed that in the last.
At Indiana,
even USC. USC was when I started noticing a lot.
Yeah,
especially the length and everything what they had, and then Illinois was bad too.
But and Evan's got, for anybody listening to the podcast, Evan's got the Play Hard shirt that he got from the shop, which is a great sponsor of ours, which you'll learn a little bit more about them and coming up here later in the pod, but. Fitting shirt, because I would say only 2 guys on Purdue played hard the whole game. That being Braden Smith and Trey Kaufman-Wren. The rest, the effort just, at least the first half, was not there. And that was so disappointing to see, like you mentioned, the top of the pod, Webby. Like, you're coming off 2-game losing streak, losing back-to-back games. You're going into your rival's place. Like, that should amp you up enough. And it just, getting beat for loose balls, getting beat for rebounds, not boxing out.
That was a game that, like, if Purdue plays a good, not even great, just a good game, they probably win by double digits.
Yes.
Like, it's like against that team. Like, it kind of reminds me of, like, you think back to 2 years ago when Purdue went down there and that was, they had a lot of talent, but they didn't make the tournament. But that was a on paper, a talented team, but Purdue went out there and just out. I mean, you had Edie diving on the floor for loose balls that led to layups. Like, and in this game, you had Wilkerson going for like getting a steal, going for a rebound, going for a fast break, and 3 guys just swat at the ball and don't even chase him down. Like, it's just that's what's probably the most frustrating. It just felt like, what are you doing? Like, how do you not like, especially like for the seniors, like they talked about, like they'd only won one time down there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to have a winning record against them, you know, they always talk about like, you know, any player who plays college sports for a long time, especially, I mean, going to be less and less nowadays because of the transfer, but like the guys who stayed at a place a long time, like you get part of your legacy is how you played against your rival.
Sure.
And when you're, you know, they'll be at best 500.
Yeah. Unless we beat them and then make play for the second time ever in a Big Ten tournament, which history saying no.
Yeah.
But yeah, that you brought up a good point. Like we've won six out of the last 10 in Bloomington, but we've only won one of the last five.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's 1-3. Like you said, the seniors down there, and yeah, it was just maddening. Like maybe I'm being too optimistic here, but I still think if Indiana misses that three that got them up five, I think Purdue wins the game.
But yeah.
We didn't deserve it.
Oh yeah.
The only reason we were in it at the end, Indiana was missing one on ones, and that's from a
which is team crazy. That's a
very good free throw shooting team.
Yeah. Yeah, because they didn't, you know, we were talking about it. There was that stat that went out that aside from USC, like four of the last five opponents had like averaging like 46%. Mm-hmm. I think Indiana shot like just under 40. So like we held them, I mean, which is still a good percentage, but like that team can light the world on fire when they're hitting, but they weren't.
They were waiting for us the second half. That was the frustrating thing. Like you said earlier, we'd cut it like five or six, then they'd extend it to 10. We just couldn't get going.
Yeah. Or we'd miss, like, we'd get to five, and then we'd turn it over, or we'd take a stupid shot or something. And, like, it was
very frustrating.
Yeah. Especially when you allowed Nick Dorn to go 4-for-9 downtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good player. I mean, as someone who watches because of my wife, like he put up buckets against Rutgers the game before that. He's been one that's like really come on for them as like a guy, kind of their third really good shooter, because he's been lighting it up recently.
Yeah, I have to share this because I told my wife I would. I tried to get her on the podcast tonight. I thought that'd be fun, but she declined. But she wanted me to share this. I mean, maybe she's onto something. We don't know. It's all speculation. She thinks there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, like within the locker room, which it could be. And what I told her is you could probably say that for any college basketball or college football team. Like nowadays in 2026 with social media and with college students and some being like 26 and some being 18, like there's a good chance, at least at some point in the season, you do have to fight through adversity away from the court or the field as far as like drama is concerned.
And yeah. Someone gets, you know, mad about playing time or
the funnies can't hoops at 100% is. So yeah, could be.
I mean, there was a story, it was on the board. So who knows how true it is. There was like, someone's like, oh, I saw Fletcher outside the game with like bodyguards. Cause of people harassing him cause of like betting and stuff. Like,
oh,
which is, I mean, oh. there was a tweet I saw someone, it was a burner account. It was like related to like Ed Cooley, like one of those like weird, like Ed Cooley's something. I don't know, but it was like a derogatory tweet about Fletcher. And then it put like an address, like an apartment number. And so like,
that's crossing the line.
You've got stuff like that. Like,
I mean, good point.
If you, I don't know. I mean, especially today's age with prop betting, Mitch Mellon was a rumor about TKR's mom having health issues. True or not? Not true. I heard it on a post. I think pretty sure that was not true because I think there was like a rumor about it. And then they're like, someone like responded, like, I'm literally sitting next to her at the game. Like, so I think I've seen her at games quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think Trey's battling through some hip issues.
I do too. I think he aggravated against UCLA, I think.
Yeah. He had that doctor, to start the year. Yeah. Famously.
Far from it, but.
Yeah. I think, I mean, like, but again, that's, you know, everybody. Nobody's playing at 100%. No. Who plays a lot? Like guys like maybe, you know, Liam Murphy, which I think he's still probably battling some injuries too. I know he's kind of been banged up throughout the year, but like guys who don't play, like Aaron Fine's probably doing pretty well right now. But
yeah. Yeah. The funny K Hoop says, think Trey is dealing with some deep philosophical thoughts. Yeah. Philosophy major. So probably.
Yeah.
He's a deep thinker. He's admitted to that, but you know, you were talking about, you know, battling through injuries and everything. Like Purdue is coming up on their schedule to play at Maryland, of course, Sunday, 1 o'clock on CBS. Then you get up pretty much a whole week's rest. You play at Oregon at home next Saturday. should be able to get these next two, but also more importantly, you get some rest in there a little bit, or in terms of rest, you're just practicing. You're not playing any games in between those. So yeah, it's, you got to get these next two.
I'm going to say we don't know. He might grind them in the ground and make the practices grueling because defensively it's looking so bad. And there isn't a Chris Kramer, like the one team that you brought up, that's defensive anchor that you can hand on this team. There isn't one like the last team I was thinking about, the 17-18 team in the Midwestern Cowboy out there. Like, there is no defensive anchor on this team. So they might be practicing defense and getting across screens.
Well, they should be practicing that right now before Sunday's game. But these next two ones you should get, and you absolutely have to get these next two.
If we lose at Maryland is not good.
No, they're not good.
And they've been, I don't know if he's going to play. He probably will now, but I know like Pharrell Payne has been out forever for them, which is obviously a big post presence for them. And a guy Purdue should be somewhat familiar with because he played at Minnesota before going to Texas A&M to follow Buzz a couple years ago. It's a trip. It's on the weekend, so students should be there. It's a tough environment. Like from when it's rocking, that place is probably one of the better ones, underrated ones in the Big Ten, from what it sounds like. But you've got to win that game. And then Oregon, like, is talk about a team with injuries.
They'll probably be back. Biddle will probably be back. He's one that could kill us.
Yeah.
But you got to get these next two. There's no excuses because then the schedule ramps up again.
Mm-hmm.
It ramps up, but I think got to believe.
I know.
If they can't do it Sunday, then the season you can just flush the conference down the drain because there are too many games back. Would that be three games back? Because Michigan and Michigan State play Friday, right?
Yeah, and they'll play again later in the year. Yep.
Okay. So you're going to be three games back of the leader. You're going to play Nebraska the following week. Who probably Illinois plays them Sunday, correct?
Yes.
Or Saturday.
Saturday or Sunday, one of the 2 days, yeah.
Okay. So they could have another loss. I still don't think – I think whoever's won the Big Ten has three losses.
Yeah, I mean, you think about – I mean, if you look at just our schedule, we still play Nebraska, still play Michigan State. Like, Nebraska's got two losses. Michigan's only got one, but they have to play at Michigan State still. They still have to play at Illinois, actually. I think they play at Illinois later this year. So, like, I think, yeah, like, I mean, obviously there's always this talk in January of, like, you lose a game or two, and it's like, oh, my God, we're out of it. And it's like, there's probably going to be, like, if the winner, even if the outright winner doesn't have four losses, I'd be shocked.
I think the outright
winner's
going to have three, though.
Weird stuff's gonna happen. Like, it's like we say, it happens every year. Like, all this is unbelievable. Then Michigan loses at home to Wisconsin. Like, crap like that's gonna happen, or they're gonna drop one. I mean, Michigan State should have dropped one at Rutgers, but Rutgers really screwed that game up. But yeah,
it's a very long shot. Can it happen? Yes, long shot though, because you're having almost run the table at this point to win it. And I know, Tanner, you brought up that team in the chat. They did.
The 09-10 team. Start 14-0, lost three straight Big Ten games, went on a tear, won 10 straight. Well, and then we know what happened. We know what happened that 10th straight game. We've been down that road playing.
Yeah.
So. But go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry.
It's possible. It's just every team has to have adversity to go through.
Sure.
It's going to galvanize them, or they're going to fold. Those are their two options.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there's a lot of pressure on them, but that's part of it. You're going to have pressure when you're ranked number one in the preseason poll.
This isn't the 22 North Carolina team. We ain't missing the tournament.
No,
that shouldn't. It shouldn't.
Yeah, but Cameron Day here. I love being a five seed after being ranked number one this year. That is my worry. I want to stay away. Like, give me a top three seed right now. Turn me even if it's three, I'm good. I'm good. I want to stay away from that 4-5 line because not only do you get a pesky mid major, but of course, then you're gonna most likely run to the one seed real you know, Sweet 16, unless they get
they
get beat. But yeah, I mean, it's hard not to sit here on January 29th and said, you know, I mean, we are kind of doom and gloom on a 3-game losing streak, but you know, unless they turn around, it's going to arguably be one of, if not the most disappointing seasons in Purdue basketball history, just because of the expectations. And you don't have a Braden Smith walking through that door.
Yeah. I saw somebody kind of comparing this to...
Time out. Before you speak, yes, we do. His name's Luke Oertl.
Don't know that, though. He hadn't played a college basketball game yet.
He hasn't played, but he's still rising the rankings. That's what
sure. I mean, he looks very promising, but looks Braden Smith's pretty damn special when you... Yeah. Would put him on Mount Rushmore, Purdue basketball.
Correct. And I'm not removing him from Mount Rushmore, but I'm thinking like you still have Luke.
Well, you still got good players coming in, but like there's going to be a step backwards no matter what next year.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's all still a learning curve of that then group learning. Right. This team, 128 starts from Fletcher.
I know.
And we're doing this. And it, I think being the senior leader is just being consistent, showing up each and every day and being that. And I think that's where things are probably missing for him. And I don't know where he lands. I think he probably needs to be benched and come off the bench and get himself a flow of the game. There just needs to be a lineup shakeup, I think, in my opinion. You can't just keep running.
Maybe there will be on Sunday. I mean, if there's a time to do it, it's probably now. I don't know how I would do it if I was Matt, but
I saw this just because obviously that's been the talk. It's been a talk for 3 freaking weeks about mostly Fletcher, but I saw Craig Bowers was responding to someone on Twitter was saying that's like, then it gets like a whole rotations question too. Cause like, obviously like these rotations, like there's a science to it and there's a reason. It's not just, it's not your, you know,
I mean, it's not NBA 2K where you just put guys in.
It's not your eighth grade team. Just like you're pulling a guy out because he's tired or whatever. It's like you're usually like you're trying to have certain guys up there.
Coach, tired.
Yeah. But yeah, it will be interesting. Like I said, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Hey, Sunday. We've seen Anthony Richardson's done it before for the Colts. I mean,
stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop. I don't want to talk about this.
But yeah, I do agree that slipping to that 4 seed would be a real bummer.
Yeah,
it would. Because I saw some people, which it's obviously too early to tell right now. But if it does happen that way, like people are comparing this to the 21-22 team where a lot of expectations obviously weren't preseason ranked.
Yes,
that's number one. But then you win your non-con tournament, or you know, riding high, but then you blow the Big Ten. You had multiple opportunities and just couldn't do it. And then you don't win you make it to the Big Ten championship of the tournament, lose that game. And then you obviously lose in the Sweet 16 to St. Peter's.
Yeah.
But it's like you had all that, like, and just nothing to show for it, which
that team got his heart broken by 3 buzzer beaters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. But this team,
Ron Harper, that right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wisconsin did it. Michigan State did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but that team turned the ball over a lot more than this team does.
Yeah.
Well,
that team played, which I guess it's parallel right now. That team literally didn't play defense. I think they were like KenPom, like 60s or 70s.
Yeah, they just tried to outscore you.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing when going to tournament, like people were talking about, like, well, they got the athlete, they got Ivy and all that. Like, they got Edie, but they just don't play defense. And that's going to, you know, there's going to be a night when shots don't fall and low bolt.
Well, it wasn't only the defense Tuesday night, it's the lack of offense, like the lack of scoring. Like, you know, Saturday against Illinois, I thought that was one of our best offensive games of the year. It's just we couldn't.
It really was. Like,
stop a freshman on the heater. I mean, and then towards the end of the game, other guys were knocking down shots. Yeah. I think we would have been better if Boswell played.
Yeah.
I honestly do, because then that gets the ball out of his hands. He doesn't have as many times to score.
Well, you probably still – Ivicic is still probably heaving up shots too.
Sure. Sure. So that was my thing too. I mean, I knew Indiana was going to shoot a million threes. That's what they do. But it was the lack of rebounding, even though we won the rebounding effort, but not by as much as we should have. And just – I don't know, just the lack of movement on offense. It just looked – it was just very frustrating. I don't even know how else to put it nicely.
We've seen this precedent. Every one of his teams do come back.
Yeah. Better start Sunday.
It'll start Sunday. If we lose, then we can just close the podcast down next week.
I mean, I don't want to just win Sunday. I want to obliterate them.
We need to win by 15.
It's time to kick the piss out of them. Belts BTA. The asses. Yes, BTA. Yeah, it is time to just, yeah, just
it, play it'll happen. Potential. It'll happen.
Make Buzz cry.
Yeah.
To cry about something.
That we have a precedent, unlike our football team. We have a precedent with this coach. So,
yeah,
it's happened. The problem is when it's happened, the tournament record is not. It's capped at a certain level, and that's what's concerning. So I know they wanted a Big Ten title. I wanted them to win the Big Ten. It's a long shot now, but it's still in play. But you got to take it one game at a time.
Oh, yeah, you have to. Yeah, you can't look ahead. I mean, January sucked. Let's be honest, because our next game's in February. January is not a fun month, but February could be a special month.
Mm-hmm. December wasn't that great a month either, because that started to show the cracks in the foundation with that Iowa State game. I think it did.
Yeah. That Iowa State team was also, again, on a stupid heater that game, too.
They were.
Our buddy, our good buddy, who's an Illinois fan, had to get a comment in here.
Of course.
Yeah, about Keaton. Yep. Uh-huh. Like I don't block you.
Is he a lotto pick?
Yes.
He's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
In this draft, though?
Yes. I think so, yes.
This draft deep. I don't know. He's borderline, in my opinion. He's first round for sure, but not. I don't know about this draft.
Well, I mean, it depends, obviously, what he does the rest of the year. I mean, if he is.
Go Huskies, Josh. Go Huskies.
But if he, yeah, he's been playing really well. And if he's keeps it up, I think, yeah, he'll be a lotto.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, that was just like, it was one of those things. Like, I was watching the game with 83 or 84-year-old Purdue fan that graduated from Purdue. He's watched a lot more Purdue basketball, of course, than I have. And he, I mean, we were getting frustrated. But he's like, I've never seen a guy shoot like this, opposing player in Mackey. Like,
my thought was like, I mean, I can't. What was the score at halftime? I can't remember. It was pretty close at halftime, wasn't it? Yeah, it was pretty close at half. I mean, I could look it up.
It was a 3-point. I thought Illinois lead.
Yeah, Illinois was winning, but I was just like, I remember thinking like. This kid's this kid's like putting up stupid numbers.
Yeah, I was like, he'll wake up,
and like it, and we're down. It was a 4-point game. We're down 4. I'm like, this kid is Thank you, Josh. And like, I was like, okay, this kid will definitely like, he can't keep doing this, and then he did.
Mitch Melton, could it be a curse to start after somebody won a particular game? Example, hell freezing over.
People are asking.
Could be. Could be.
I don't think it happened. Look at the show out that happened on that Saturday.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Was the game even played?
We're living in a simulation, as Evan likes to say. Yeah.
I was surprised they brought it out before the game. I thought for sure it'd be a halftime thing.
That trophy sucks.
We would all love to have just
absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, that the crystallized ball football that used to be the BCS trophy, that was like the best trophy in sports. They got rid of it for a tin can looking trophy that you can see the finger smudges all over it.
Like, they'll change it again once it goes to the 2014 playoff.
Well, they should, because it looks like crap.
And that'll be the NCAA tournament.
The NCAA basketball ones look like crap.
Because the NCAA owns
it's all the NCAA.
Yeah.
The football FCS championship.
They're just freaking boring. Like, I don't know.
I'd like to have one.
Sure. We would love to have the trophy. Sure. Sorry,
the marketing guy's coming in out of me a little bit. Like, let's get with the present times a little bit.
I guess the one thing I thought about actually Wednesday, should Mike Babinski take any of this blame?
No.
What blame?
Losing
the basketball team?
Women's basketball, too. I know they beat out.
I'm sorry. I don't mean it bad, but I don't think anybody cares about women's basketball right now.
I'm talking revenue.
I don't think anybody cares about the revenue of women's basketball. It's Ms. Basketball and football.
Maybe we can make it baseball.
I mean, volleyball is a great program, but I don't know how much revenue they bring in.
Yeah. I mean, they need to pack out Holloway.
But we can't make it any bigger.
Right.
So then you're playing games in Mackey if we want to, but I don't think that's going to happen.
We can complain about Babinski about a lot of things, but I don't put any of this the basketball woes on him right now. Men's basketball. Maybe women's you could. But.
Maybe with Ross Aid, they'll build a dome over Ross Aid.
But Sunday's game, going back to January 2015, the Boilers are 10-6 in this series. Won the last two meetings, including the last one in College Park, the 23-24 season, 67-53. A lot of these games have been pretty close. Mm-hmm. Last year's matchup in West Lafayette was 83-78 win by the Boilers. We did lose by 14 in College Park back in 22-23 season. But a lot of them have been pretty darn close. Hopefully this one isn't. Like I said, it's time for Purdue to get back going in the right direction and flex their muscles on Sunday. Because, if you lose this one, then it's time to hit the panic button big time.
I'm glad Derek Queen ain't on this team anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, Maryland hasn't played since Saturday, where they got beat by 43 at Michigan State.
Yeah, they got killed.
Yeah, they lost at Illinois by 19, beat Penn State, lost at USC by 17, lost at UCLA by 12. Indiana went into Maryland and won by 18.
Yeah.
Oregon's beat them. You gotta win. I'm trying to look at their leading score is Pharrell Payne, even though he hasn't played. His last game was December 13th against Michigan, where he played only 15 minutes. They do have a kid, Coit, I think his name. He's a small guard, but I think he's been shooting the ball. He's been at home been shooting 45% from three. So
will Scott Van Pelt be in the house?
It's a Sunday CBS game. It'd be cool. Yeah.
They probably wouldn't show him on CBS even if he was, since he works for ESPN.
No, they would.
Would they?
I think they would. I don't think that stuff matters much anymore. Maybe with Fox. That's probably the only one I can think of.
Yeah, but I guess we can get into it. Score prediction, player of the game prediction, and bold prediction.
I'll go first. Purdue wins 95-41.
Whoa. Wait, what was this? 95-41?
Yep.
All right.
All right, we're going to lose now.
Nope. They're going to drop it. Literally drop the hammer.
God.
Brayden drops 40.
I hope he doesn't play the second half if we're up by that much.
I would hope so.
Or just paint a little bit and try and beat because Jeremy Pierce got 17 assists the other night when they were up 40 against them. Like, does he let Brayden stay in and get 20?
No, I think he's going to make a point that they ain't got.
You have Brayden 1 point less than Maryland's whole team.
I know. But incredible. He's going to, I think what's going to happen is they're going to say, you need a score. Pretty much, you're the only guy.
Which one's your bold prediction?
Both of them. We're doubling down.
Oh, my Lord.
We're gonna lose.
Well, he better be your player of the game too. So you did all 3-1 pretty much right there.
Mine's just Daniel Jacobson going 5-5-5-5.
Oh my god, dude! I know you've been sick lately, but give me whatever you've been taking, because I need some of it.
There's a lot.
I think that fever cooked your brain. I think that fever cooked your brain
at this point. But no, I think Brayden does drop. 40, and I think they didn't win.
Easily. Sign me up. Sign me up. Webby, follow that.
Oh, man. Okay.
Wait, was that a 50? Yeah, that was a 54-point spread I just gave. Oh, well. That's about right. I think it's going to be that. CBS will want to change the channel to a different game.
I'm going Boilers 75-60.
You think they're going to put up that many points?
Huh?
You think they're? I know Michigan State's the number one defensive team in the Big Ten, but you think they're going to put up that many points?
60 is not a lot.
Purdue's defense is, again, is a,
it's acceptable, but I think
there's lots to be desired.
I think there's going to be massive lockdown improvement. There's not going to be many spacing.
I hope so. Yeah, there better be.
That's why I think there's a lot of transition buckets.
Can I get to my prediction?
Sure, go ahead.
Play of the game, just because everybody's hating on him, I'm going to go Fletcher, just as a middle finger to everybody. I'm going to say he goes 5 for 8 from three. That Adidas, or not even, no, it's not. They do the Under Armour. They do the freaking super orange ball, I think, that they use in the tournament. Bold prediction. The entire starting fives in double digits.
I like that.
Ooh, hold on.
5-5-5?
Shut up. No. My bold prediction is there's not the lineup change.
I like that. All right. I will go Purdue 83, Maryland 58. Player of the game. I'm going with Oscar Clough.
Like it.
And my bold prediction is he is 15-15 game.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
It's time for him to get aggressive on the boards again.
I wonder if the foul trouble at USC kind of spooked him a little bit. I don't know.
He just hasn't been playing aggressively. No. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been weird.
And you know what? One thing I was kind of, and I think you can agree, Webby, and you are the roughest on officiating on this podcast. I didn't think officiating was very bad on Tuesday night.
No,
I really honestly, I thought we kind of got the friendlier whistle.
Yeah. Yeah. Trey definitely gets what got away.
He could have got a flagrant one.
Yeah.
good one. Good one, Mitch. Mitch Melton said, my bold prediction, it will not be a 54-point game.
Yeah, I didn't have too much to complain about. Shockingly enough, there were some things I was like, I thought there was like some like ticky-tack stuff down low, but I mean, you're going to have that. But yeah, I thought like for the most part, like there was nothing in that game where I was like, well, the only thing I was mad about was the foul call that got called when Fletcher hit that three. So I was like, I'd rather just take the three and give him the ball. That was not the source of my frustration, as it can be a lot of games. It was more of just the team wearing the black jerseys.
Yeah.
You guys got to speak it into existence. You want belt to ass. This is truly
belt
to ass.
That's what I want. I think we can do it. Yeah.
So a 54-point bowl prediction is possible. Braden has dropped big games before.
Yeah.
You get a lot of transition buckets. This can literally
happen. He does. He did say in his podcast, one of his favorite environments was Maryland. So.
And Derek Queen walked through that door. Steve Francis ain't walking through that door.
Watching Mel Trimble growing up.
There you go. None of those guys walking through that door. This is a shell of a team, and I think Buzz probably regrets leaving Texas A&M for it. So, yes, they are. It's a collective viewing experience, folks. People listen on the podcast. Tanner had to write. Aaron's thoughts are not the views of the whole Boiler Brack Down squad. For this one, they are.
I want to win about 54 points.
This is true. What you want. You have to speak it into existence. I think we'd all be happy in that second half if it is.
Who would have thought at the start of the season Aaron was going to be the sunshine and rainbows one on the pod
Good
come January?
the season ain't over.
I'm not saying it is.
But it's doom and gloom. It's a three-game losing streak. Teams go through adversity.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just a matter of how it's happened. If it was three games of, like, Illinois, it is what it is. Like, you played well, they played better. Like, but it's just the
– IU, they walked out a damn trophy.
The football actually had nothing to do with it. It was just mostly like
– The UCLA game was – they had a chance to win that.
Up six with a minute and a half left. Yes. You should win that game.
That was frustrating. I think the one from Tuesday is most frustrating because it's like – I mean,
Indiana's not good. I'll come out and say it. They're not good. I'll say it. They suck.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And there's just like, I remember like watching, because I've obviously watched them with my wife. I'm like, I mean, I've told you guys before, it's like, we're going to obliterate this team on the boards. And we out rebounded them by five. Like, that was like, was frustrating. Because I thought Clough was going to just absolutely feast down low.
I did too.
Because of, you know, I didn't, you know, Reed Bailey played really well, which I was like, we're making Reed Bailey look good. That's a problem. And I think Alexis is going to be able to hang with him because it's just of a size difference.
Mitch Milton on Facebook said, I could see Braden going for 40. He's probably fed up and may just take over himself to prove a point.
He's going to prove a point because people think he's just going after that assist mark.
He's been scoring at a good clip, though.
But I think he's going to just say,
he got a little helter-skelter in that game on Tuesday, though. Like, there's a couple times where I was like, he drove, and I was like, ooh, this is freshman.
He never played very well at Bloomington. This was his best scoring performance. He struggled down there for whatever reason. Yeah.
I'd watch him. There's times he drove, and I was like, this feels like Braden, you know, freshman year Braden of driving, leaving his feet, trying to figure out it, you know, on the fly. And that was just a little, he had a couple bad turnovers. Honestly, like eight in the first half, so it's one thing. But
well, and this is kind of my last thought on Tuesday's game, unless you guys have any others. But one thing that was kind of concerning was late in the game, it was just him and Trey. It seemed like Braden didn't trust anybody else.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, and I know Trey was aggressive and getting to the line, but that hurt us more times than it helped. Like, at one point, I'm like, just hit one or two.
There was that play where Jack kind of took that in transition three, and I was like, I like the confidence, not that spot.
Like, not the right time.
Yeah. Even
if it went in, I probably would try to do like a backflip, but yeah.
But
yeah, but sucks, but we get another crack at them February 20th, but you can't guarantee anything.
Yeah.
One game at a time, go out and earn it. Play
one
hard.
One game at a time. Yep.
Yeah.
Play hard, like Webby Shirt says.
Yeah. If all goes well, like these next two games, get right games. You've had, you know, Tuesday to Sunday is still a good amount of time for them to correct some stuff. Mm-hmm. But obviously next week you got that whole essentially a week off. But you got two struggling teams. Like, you just go out and just take care of business. I think a lot of people will feel a lot better if we can do that.
Yep.
Start learning yourselves all over again. It's a whole learning experience. It's the world. It ain't over. It ain't March. And it ain't. So you got other games to play.
Yeah.
You got times to fix it. You just got to fix it.
Yeah. If it's going to happen, you're probably, assuming you fix it, you're happy it happens now and not a month from now when you've got two games left. And then, like, oh crap, here's the, now the real season begins sort of thing. So
it'll work itself out. They got enough experience. They'll either get better from it or they'll fold and pack up. And I don't think this team's folding and packing up. They've had too much experience, too many starts. They have an experienced coach.
I will say, because I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm glad I remembered it. But like, remember, like, we go back to the Iowa game, and I was there, and obviously it's at home. But like, we kind of talked about it. It's like, even when we were down, we got like what, down nine or whatever. Like, or when it was, we were like going back and forth. I was nervous, but I still, in my head, I was like, or in my heart, in my gut, I was like, they're going to pull this out. Like, they're going to figure it out. And it's going to, just because that's what this team has done, these guys have done. But these last three games, especially, it's more especially the UCLA game and the IU game. I was like, I even said, like, to my wife, we were watching UCLA game. I was like, which she just thinks I'm just pessimistic all the time. But I was like, they're hitting a three here. Cause I was like joking. Cause there's the whole thing of like the race 69 is like a thing. Like the first team to get 69 usually always wins. It's actually really weird. It's usually true. And they were at 66 and we were at 67. And I was like, they're going to hit a three to get to the race to 69 and the game's going to be over. And sure enough, it's exactly what they did. At an IU game. Like, I just like, even when we got down to like five, I was just like, I don't think they're going to pull it out, which sucks because it's, I haven't had that feeling. I haven't had a feeling about this, about that, like really since probably like their freshman year, really. Whereas like, I didn't believe that they could do it. Like truly didn't, but like, I was like, truly like, and I'll be the pessimist one sometimes, just be like, ah, they're not going to win. But like, and then they end up pulling it out and they win. But like, that was just like, I don't see this as going to happen. Like, and I wasn't even like mad about it. I was just like, they're not going to pull this out, which really sucks as a feeling. Kind of like football. I was like, I don't think they're going to do this.
Mitch Mel says,
from football.
It's crazy to me how a team that has zero experience in the rivalry could possibly want it more than a team that has 4 years in the rivalry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You wonder if it's like a, I mean, one thing I guess you could turn that is like, you know, hey, it's their first time in it. Like, you know, I'm sure they, you know, obviously they talked about it on the broadcast, like Connor Enright, his brother went to IU. So he's like, he obviously knows about the rivalry. And, you know, they mentioned like DeVries got asked every football game if they were going to beat Purdue. It's like, so you, if you're not familiar with it, like you get pretty familiar with it pretty damn quick. Versus like a team that maybe, I mean, maybe, I hope not, but you wonder if like Purdue just thought like, hey, if we just play a C game, we're going to go out there and we're going to beat this team. And yep, they didn't.
It's crazy. Like, you know, years past when Indiana beat Purdue, I'd get on social media, especially Facebook, and it would be, my algorithm would be flooded. I saw one post, one, about Indiana beating Purdue. Yep.
I saw quite a few on mine.
Yeah, I did not. So I.
Yeah, I saw quite a few. But I saw a lot of like,
compared to football, I didn't, at least.
Yeah, I saw a lot of like, been a hell of a week, like, you know, like do all that and then you beat Purdue, like great time to beat. And I'm like, so, but yeah.
Yeah. So, well, before we flip gears and talk a little football to wrap up the podcast, Aaron, why don't you let everybody know where they can get some good grub at?
Absolutely. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mush, serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette. Is well known for the home of the original cheese stick. Whenever any of the Boiler Breakdown crew is in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which is Sweet Heat Barbecue Meats. Light layer of barbecue sauce topped with pepperoni, sausage, ham, bacon, ground beef, banana peppers, and mozzarella cheese finished with a barbecue drizzle. So next time you're in town, order online by using the use the promo code BREAK526 for any $5 off of any order over $20. That is BREAK526 for $5 off any order over $20, including the pizza of the month, cheese sticks, you name it. So next time you're in town, use that promo code. Tell them we sent you. You won't regret it. Mad Mush, feed your head.
And they got a couple events coming up Monday, February 2nd from 10 a.m. through Tuesday, February 3rd at 1 a.m. Dying to donate for Delta Gamma. Good job. Good way to raise money for their friends over there, the sorority. So they'll donate a portion of their proceeds for anyone that mentions their organization all day Monday. Online orders, they can use the code DGF to help them out. And Tuesday night, they've been doing a lot of trivia contests lately. They got reality TV trivia from 7 p.m. through 9 p.m. It's Tuesday night on February 3rd. So it says no script, no spoilers, just pure chaos. From The Bachelor to Survivor, Real Housewives to Keeping Up with the Kardashians. This trivia night is all about the shows we swore we weren't watching, but somehow knew everything about.
I wonder how sounds the like all-you-can-eat buffet went last week.
Would have went like, good if I mean, I was
not the buffet, but the all-you-can-eat last week during the national title game.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that on the pod, so yeah.
Wonder how that turnout was and how many people went with a food coma because they didn't want to watch that garbage.
Would have been me if I was there. So, yep. But speaking of the sport that you're saying is garbage, football, don't have too much to talk about, but we do know the official schedule for the 2026 Purdue football season as the Big Ten Tuesday night revealed everybody's games. It took forever to get to Purdue. we do know, of course, we knew the non-conference dates. Saturday, September 5th, Indiana State will be the opener. We don't know any times.
Did we know that there was a gap between Wake Forest and Notre Dame?
Not sure about that. Yeah.
I think we did. I didn't think we knew think that was. Yet.
Wake Forest at home Saturday, September 12th. Big Ten season kicks off Saturday, September 19th in the Rose Bowl at UCLA. And then September ends with a home game, the Shillelagh Trophy game against Notre Dame. Definitely not going to be easy. I mean, you're looking at Notre Dame, of course, a team that was really good but didn't make the playoff. Indiana State, but we'll probably see old friend Brady Allen probably slinging the rock for Indiana State. Wake Forest was a bowl team. UCLA was not, but they got a new head coach coming in from James Madison. That works out. That works out pretty well, whether you do it for football or basketball these days. But you can make a case where September is going to be the do-or-die month right away.
Which is crazy.
Which is wild. Yeah. Looking at October, like this is the gauntlet month. At Illinois on Saturday, October 3rd for the Cannon. Return home Saturday, October 10th against Minnesota. I'm guessing that'll be homecoming, but that's just a guess. Ryan Walters homecoming Saturday, October 17th against the Huskies.
Oh.
Get a bye week. I like the bye week coming back from Washington.
I do. Yes.
Travel to Penn State on Halloween on October 31st, Saturday. They also have a bye week the week before. I'm an idiot. It says homecoming right here. Saturday, November 7th. Late homecoming.
November 7th.
Against Maryland.
Could be freaking cold.
Just like Purdue's hosted Maryland since 2019, the astronaut uniform game. Travel to Iowa City, Saturday, November 14th. Host Wisconsin Badgers Saturday, November 21st on Senior Day. Purdue is due in that series. They're more than due. And then travel down to Bloomington on Saturday, November 28th for the old Oaken Bucket game.
So, do you think they make homecoming because they think they can beat Loxley and the boys?
Probably. You usually try to schedule somebody you can beat, and they probably think they have a better chance of beating them than Fleck and the boat rowers or against Washington. So
I probably will pick Loxley and the boys at that point.
You're not going to pick Notre Dame. I mean, for God's sake. So
No.
I don't like that Notre Dame's after West Coast trip.
No. Yeah. Oh God. No, I'm not. That's scary to be honest.
Yeah. So
I do not like how that September like actually laid out.
Yeah. It's not going to be easy. But I mean, the 3 week stretch I'm looking at Notre Dame at home at Illinois, Minnesota home, heck, even Washington at home. That's tough.
Yeah.
You know what would be cool?
Is what it is.
If they handed Walters his check for the month down
the field. Have Mike come out and take a big picture with a big check. I'm sure Ryan would be glad to.
Have Grimes come down too. Make her have a public appearance. I think that would be the best like timeout entertainment.
He's the student athlete of the week.
Him and Kevin Kane can have a good talk about real estate during the game.
Yeah, they can. They can just get them both out of the box. Well, Walters doesn't go in.
He's
the box.
On the field. Oh, he's on. Yeah. You kidding Kane's me? He's flexing those muscles on the field.
Yeah, Kane's on the field too.
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Like this is an opportunity. You're a marketing guy, Tanner. Don't you think this is a great marketing opportunity?
Yes, but I have a feeling one of them wouldn't sign the photo release for him. So, you know,
I'll too early to tell, but
it is.
It's not promising.
On paper, it's easier in the last 2 years, but that's paper. So,
it better hope all these transfer gems. That's all I can say.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking 12-0.
12-0 till you're not, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Unless we lose the first game against Brady.
Shut it down. Like
then it's 11-1. Yeah. It's 11-1.
That's a redemption arc if I've ever seen one. Hey, yeah. Joe Taylor lost Toledo. Hey, look what happened next week.
They should have in-game interviews and ask him, do you regret leaving here? Do you see what this squad is?
Yeah, he's about 26 now, so not 26, but he's pretty old.
He's probably 24.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be his sixth year, I think.
It's. I listened to Barry's press conference. I'm not running through a wall. Sorry. It's until
I liked it. I mean, like, I
you did. I ran through a wall for the guy last year and bought the stupid t-shirt.
Well,
I mean, it's kind of things where it's like, I mean, I like what he says, but you know,
it's just talk, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta show me. Yeah. Yep. I mean, I guess it is a good thing that, I mean, that he said, like, he's got this team. This is the team. Like, yep. You know, I mean, unless you get another portal addition, which sounds like they probably won't, but you know, you've got 6 months. So yep.
I like their strategy in terms of the portal this year a lot better than last year.
But oh,
we'll see.
Last year, you were just trying to get build a team.
You're just trying to get a team.
I know.
But I don't like, though, the continuity of the coaching staff that you've kind of thrown out there.
Yeah, we got some new faces, too, and an old face.
Well, we lost, I mean, some big put key contributors, I should say, on a 2-10 team.
Yeah. They didn't lose near as many as I thought they would, though.
Yeah.
No.
I thought they'd lose more, so.
Tight end play is going to have to improve vastly.
Well, George got to stay healthy. I mean, my gosh. But he never has.
Yeah. So. And I saw that, like, what, two of the – how many tight end commits did we get? Two or three?
Wasn't Claire's brother still on the team?
No idea.
I'm not sure.
I know at least two tight end commits are not on campus right now. Yet, so it's like, that kind of sucks. But, I mean, you can't get everybody on campus. So.
Right. Yeah, long way. Spring ball starts March 3rd and I think ends on April 11th, if I read that right. So.
Yeah.
Has it been announced that there's going to be a black and gold game this year?
Hadn't been announced. I don't know if many teams are doing spring games anymore.
It's probably, I mean, you might see more of it now because there's no...
That's no window.
There's no window, whereas before it was easy to not want to do it because you want to put your guys on tape.
Right.
I mean, you could do a scheduled scrimmage. I don't know if Deion wants to do one. Might be up for it.
They tried with Syracuse. They tried.
Yeah. I'd be up for it at this point. The more reps this team can get, the better.
Well, we might be able to compete with Colorado. They were 3-9.
Let's schedule it out.
And they've lost a lot of people to the portal this year. Yeah.
It'll be a true black and gold game. No one will ever know. Just pull stickers off.
But Webby, where can people get that good-looking shirt of yours that says play hard?
Yes, sir. That'd be at the shop, who's been making hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in the garage, and they've got three retail locations who are absolutely just booming right now for a certain team after a certain game. I don't want to talk about it. But if you find yourself in – hold on. What is this new shirt? What is this Mackey Arena shirt?
I hadn't seen that either until
oh my God, I love it. Sorry for those who are listening, but yeah, Tanner's got the shop website pulled up and I see a Mac Arena shirt that I've not seen before, and I might have to buy that ASAP. Anyways, sorry. But if you find yourself in Indy, they've got a retail location in Carmel, Broad Ripple, downtown Indy. Stop in, great people. If you're a Purdue fan, you probably won't like what they've got in their retail stores right now because it's selling like hotcakes for a good reason for that team.
That's everywhere right now, any store. Gosh.
Yeah, I saw that freaking Walmart the other day.
Walmart, Meijer up here. First thing you see when you walk in.
Yeah, it's like $40 for a really crappy sweatshirt. It's like,
you know what's sad though? Every time I've walked in and I've seen that, which has been three times at Meijer last week, there's been people either buying it or looking at it every single time.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. But if you want to get a nice, sweet little deal, go to the shopindy.com. Use promo code.
Look at all the breakdown. Script. Look at all the script apparel.
Yeah. Use promo code breakdown for free shipping. Yeah, they just came out with a script, new script logo or new script shirts. They just came out with a true vintage old gold Rick Mount era shooter shirt. I have the black version. It's awesome. I love it. Obviously, the new Mac Arena shirt that I just found out about that I need to buy. that Boiler Script hoodie I love. I need to buy that still. There's at this point eight shirts I need to buy.
They've got this is the best. They've always had good stuff. This year's been the best.
Yeah, this has been by far the best. Yeah. They always have stuff coming out for football, basketball. They've got layer shirts. Yeah, I love that shirt. It's comfortable, fit well. They've got Trey Coffin Wren shirts. They've got Braden Smith shirts. Yeah, it's just good stuff. Like I said, use promo code BREAKDOWN for free shipping at theshopindy.com.
Can't go wrong with anything from the shop. I really need to make an order.
Yeah.
I do have a birthday coming up, so maybe I can just tell everybody, get on the shop, use BREAKDOWN, free shipping, just give me stuff. Sounds like a plan to me. So, Mitch Melton, spending $40 once a lifetime isn't terrible.
That's true. Hope is once in a lifetime. God.
Oh my gosh.
I still catch myself, like, I'll just be scrolling on social media and like something from that game will pop up and I'm like, that really freaking happened.
I know. That's like, honestly, as far as like people blowing up my phone, I didn't have any IU fans reach out to me, which was nice.
I reached out to a few, just like, hey, congratulations.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I did like, that. But I didn't have any rubbing in my face. I know my dad had some. Yeah. And like, I didn't hear from anybody at the basketball game the other night. My dad heard from some. I'm like, maybe I'm just not as much of a jerk as he is or something. I don't know. But
yeah, it's I mean,
I also took a social media break for 2 days after they won the championship. Yeah. So that helped.
I was talking to a rep who actually went there, but he cheers for Ohio State. But we're just both like, I can't compute it right now. It just doesn't make sense.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Don't believe it even happened.
Anything's possible. We've seen it. So any final thoughts, fellas, as we wrap up this week's Boiler Breakdown?
Just take care of business. Make some turtle soup.
Yes. Yes. BTA, that would be BTA right there, 54-point win.
BTA, and then enjoy some crab cakes.
Absolutely. Sign me up.
Feels like get back on the bus and get back on the plane. Charter flight back. And then you want to enjoy your crab cakes.
Good on the plane? Why can't you enjoy crab cakes on the plane?
He'll say we have film to watch.
Possibly. All right, fellas. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for commenting along. We really appreciate the engagement. Engagement always makes the pods more fun. But let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the turtles, the terps, the terrapins, and get this thing going the right direction.
Boiler up.